While he was yet speaking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, seeking to speak to him. And one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, seeking to speak to thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. This evening, we're going to talk about the spiritual family that we have in the local congregation. We're going to talk about the benefits and the blessings of being God's family, as we have just sung this evening. We've recently moved, as has been announced, to work with the Warfield Boulevard congregation in Clarksville, Tennessee. And in the past few months, I've been impressed with the number of visitors that pass through that particular congregation. It's different than where we were at before. We were 21 years in Springfield, Tennessee, just the county over. But because of the location of that small town and that congregation, there were not on a regular basis a lot of visitors, and there were certainly not those moving into the community and wanting to place membership. But in Clarksville, it's different. Springfield is about 18,000. Clarksville is about 185,000. And because of the military base there, the Army base, 101st Airborne, and some other factors, there's a college there, APSU. There have been many people coming and going in that local congregation from the standpoint of visiting. And that's been new for me. And often they will come into the building and I'll be talking with them, and some of them will say, we're looking for a church family. And so I've been thinking about these things because of that. I want us to consider this evening some things that we can say to others with regard to the local church family. You might want to make a note of some things this evening. You can say these things to a coworker. You can say these things to someone at school, or maybe even a neighbor or a family member. You might just ask them, do you have a church family? I'm well aware of using Bible terms in Bible ways. I preach a lesson sometimes about speaking as the Bible speaks and speaking of Bible things in Bible ways. And I'm very conscious of that. We need to use Bible terms. But when we speak of church family, I believe that that fits a biblical model there and a biblical pattern. We are a church and we are a family. You don't see those two words put together in the New Testament, but those concepts are there, and I believe that we can speak to others of being a church and being a family. And what we're studying this evening, I would encourage you to bring up with someone else. You might just ask a coworker sometime, do you have a church family? Why not come visit us at the Benton Church of Christ? We are a family of God that is seeking to live according to His Word and go to heaven. And so as the lesson unfolds, there may be something here that you can share with others. I want to begin this evening by sharing with you two real but unfortunate statistics. They're very real, but they are very sad at the same time with regard to the general populace in America today. The first statistic that I'd like to share with you deals with the physical family. The second statistic that I'd like to share with you deals with a religious relationship that somebody might have in a church or a denomination. Do you know that all children in the United States, out of all the children in the United States, 50% will experience a divorce? 50%. They will not be in a whole family relationship as God would want that. Either mom is gone or dad is gone. 50%. And of those 50%, 50% of that 50% will experience a second divorce somewhere along the line. So, after the first divorce and after their heart has been torn and the emotional problems have come, Divorce brings about educational problems, emotional problems, financial and physical problems to the children of that divorce. That's a well-known fact. So after the child has experienced that one time, 50% of those children will experience it again. And 10% of those children will experience it 3 or 4 times in their lifetime. There are many people in Benton that you're going to cross paths with who grew up in what we would call a broken home, a dysfunctional family that did not have that loving and caring relationship that a mother and father should have toward each other and toward the children. 50% of the young people in Benton you're going to cross paths with, Walmart, Applebee's, wherever you're at, is going to have that situation going on. So in their physical families, they have experienced these emotional and physical and psychological and educational problems that come with divorce. Those are the type of people that would love to have a family, a physical family, but they don't get it because mom and dad, for some selfish reason, got a divorce. I'm not talking about a scriptural divorce, of course, but for some selfish reason, they're divorcing and they're going on their way. Those type of people we are surrounded by in our town here of Benton and in Clarksville and other places, these people often are ripe for talking to them about how that they can have a family. They can have a spiritual family that will take care of them. And they're actually looking for that, many of them are. They're open to that. They want that. Let me share with you another statistic. In America today, 60 to 70% of Americans belong to some church. That leaves 30 to 40% of Americans who are described as unchurched. They don't go anywhere. 30 to 40% of Americans do not attend any kind of church service. So when you're out in Benton, again at Walmart and Applebee's and where you work and other places in town, you're going to cross roughly 30 to 40% of people in your communications and lifestyle here in Benton that are described as unchurched. They don't know the benefits. They don't have a clue of the benefits of having a spiritual family that they can be a part of each week to worship God. They don't know anything about that. They don't have the first clue of what that means. 30 to 40%. Those people, like the children of divorce, those people are also ripe for introducing to them the need to have a spiritual family to take care of them and help them. I've performed funerals. I did one earlier this year in Clarksville. I performed a funeral for a person who showed up, and it was just that person. They had no family. They had no physical family. They had no spiritual family. They're trying to get through the death of a loved one with absolutely no type of support like what we have. My daughter was telling me that when she and her husband went to the birthing classes there in Franklin, Tennessee, just over the past few weeks, getting ready for her birth this past weekend, she said that there were young girls in there. They had nobody. Mom and dad didn't come to help. The dad's not there to help. Maybe some 18-year-old, some 16-year-old having a baby and absolutely no help. And then here's my daughter. Of course, she has us and her husband and her husband's side of the family who are Christians. But then there's all these Christians at the local congregation who want to do for them as soon as they get out of the hospital. There are people out in the world that have no clue what we have. They don't realize what they could have in Christ. Do you know that the local congregation is put in place for the very purpose of many things, worship and other kinds of things, but for the very purpose of giving us the family relationship to make it through life? That's one of the sole purposes of the local congregation. And there are many people out in the world that just don't care to have that, don't know to have that. And what we can do, brethren, is knowing those startling and terrible statistics, we can reach out to people and excite them and encourage them that they can have a family that they've never had before. And so this evening, I hope that we can help that along those lines. Back to the Warfield Boulevard comment, we've also had this, and you may be in this situation, or you might know of someone in this situation, we can help them as well. Sometimes we've had people visit from different denominations in town. We've also had some visit from other churches of Christ, other churches of Christ in Clarksville, other churches of Christ in other parts of the state. And because of the military factor, there are military families moving in and out of Clarksville all the time, and we've had some move in just recently. And so here is someone who was raised in the church. They're now looking for a church of Christ. Which one do they go to? How do they know what is right and wrong, what is scriptural and what is unscriptural? Not Church of Christ on the sign is not enough. They need to know something more. And so what we're talking about this evening also helps along those lines. Not all churches of Christ are created equal. We know that by just reading Revelation chapter 2 and 3. There's seven churches there. And some of them are not doing what is right. Some of them are. Some of them are doing some good things and also doing some bad things. So when someone is out in the community of Benton and they're not a part of anything, 30 to 40%, we can help them to see that there is a church family here. And when some from other churches of Christ move into the area or looking to, do we want to come and be with the Benton congregation or not? We can help them with this as well. A lot of times there are those out in the community who are looking for a church. Comments have been made to me when some come to visit at the Warfield congregation. They'll come in the foyer and they're greeted by some of our deacons, and eventually I get around to them and I'm talking with them and they say, well, we're looking for a church. So what do we say to them? I hope this lesson will help along those lines. You know, some people are looking for a church that is large and fast growing. What would we say to them about that? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount? There's a broad way that leads to destruction. Just because there's a big group, just because there's a large group, doesn't mean that it's right. And so he says we need to strive to enter in by the narrow door. So when somebody comes to us and says, well, I'm looking for a large and fast growing church in Benton, share with them that numbers is not what God is looking for. It might be the narrow way that is following the scriptural authority of God's pattern. And it may be a few people there. It may not be a mega church. It may not be one in town that has hundreds of members, but that narrow way where those folks are following that narrow truth. Sometimes someone will say to you, I'm looking for a church, and I'm looking for the one that I was raised in, one like the way I was raised. I remember my parents taking me to such and such church, or my grandparents used to take me to such and such church. And is this church like the one that I was raised in? You know, one thing we might say to them is, do you remember what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1? He talked about how that he was raised in the Jewish religion and he was zealous for the law and he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And also in Philippians chapter 3, he talks about how that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews and circumcised the eighth day and zealous for the law and persecuting the church. That's the way he was raised, but was it right? It wasn't right. Just because we were raised a certain way doesn't mean we were raised right. And just because we were raised a certain way in a religion doesn't mean that that religion was right. Paul was raised in the Jewish religion, which before the death of Christ, that was the way God wanted, although he was also raised with human tradition mixed in with that. He was a Pharisee, and they had all of their human traditions. So a mixture of Jewish tradition, a mixture of the law of Moses, which was right, but after the cross, that was not what he was supposed to be, and he was to be a Christian and a member of the church. And so he had to leave that behind. So when somebody says, well, you know, I'm looking for a church that was the one like I was raised in, we need to remind them of the Apostle Paul. Turn with me to John chapter 4, when Jesus was talking with the woman there at the well of Sychar. Somebody says, well, I'm looking for a church that is conveniently located near me. I live two blocks from the Benton Church building, and it would be a great place to come down here and I could drop my kids off or grandkids, and would you be okay with that? And I'm just looking for one in my neighborhood or my community. And we're glad to have anyone and everyone visit, and we want to help those. And we actually have a situation at Warfield where the parents will drop off their son. He has some physical handicaps. He has a walker and just a great young man. He's probably 20 years old. Just a great young man. But every time the parents drop him off, I say, hey, you know that you can stay too if you want. And I'm trying to work on them. But we're glad to have anybody and everybody. But a lot of times people are looking for something convenient. And do you remember what Jesus said in John 4 verses 20 through 24 when the woman there said that we worship in this mountain? She was pointing over to Mount Gerizim. And while I've never been to what is called the Holy Lands or Palestine, I'm told that from the Well of Sychar, you can actually look just right over there and see Mount Gerizim. That's where the Samaritans worship. There was a temple up on top of that mountain. So right here, this is where we worship. And Jesus said that the day comes when you will neither worship in this mountain or in Jerusalem. It's not about a location. It's about what is right, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So it's not about location. It's about the proper authority in worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And so when somebody says that to us, just remind them of Jesus' statement there with regard to this woman, that it's not about a particular location that makes it right. You know, some people say, I'm looking for a church with popular people in it. Do you remember what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26, that not many mighty or not many noble are called? Do you remember that? What he was saying there was that the gospel often does not appeal to rich and famous people. That they don't want the humble aspects of the gospel. They don't want to repent of their sins. They don't want to go down into this water and have their sins washed away and things like that. So not many mighty or noble are called. On average, in the Lord's church, you're just going to have the salt of the earth kind of people. And there's nothing wrong with being educated or having money by any means. But typically in the Lord's church, those type of folks are not present because the gospel doesn't appeal to those kind of folks. That's why in the life of Jesus, it said the common people heard him gladly. There were a few folks, Nicodemus, he was rich. You know, Zacchaeus, he's described as a rich man. There's a few like that that followed Jesus, but for the most part, it was the common people heard him gladly. So, I don't guess there's any rich and famous in the Benton Church of Christ. I don't know. Maybe I haven't been here long enough this week to meet everybody, but you're not going to find Hollywood stars and, you know, Fortune 500 people in the Benton Church of Christ. But you're going to find those who love the Lord and obey him. I'm looking for a church that has a dynamic speaker. Drop on down to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, just a few verses later in verses 1 through 5. Paul said, I didn't come to you speaking words of wisdom. I just came to you bringing the gospel. The Corinthians, we are told, even outside the church, just Corinth as a whole, they prided themselves on oratory and philosophical speaking and the teachers that would speak philosophically. And Paul said, I didn't come speaking that kind of way so that your faith would not be in men, but in God, in God's word. So it's not about the dynamic speaker. I'm looking for a church with friendly people. Well, we certainly need to be friendly and say hello and shake one another's hand. But the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5 says that what's important is that the members bear the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes folks have visited and they've said, well, you know, I don't know if that was a warm, friendly group. And by the way, we need to be approaching our visitors. We have a pretty good sized group. And I'm trying to encourage the brethren that if you sit way up front, we've got this auditorium that's divided up into four sections, and somebody may be sitting way up here, and here come these visitors, and right after services, they might want to get out. I'm encouraging the brethren up here to get on back there and meet the visitors. We need to do that. But what's more important than being friendly is bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Do we have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, and so forth? So when people say, I'm looking for such and such, we need to remind them of these things. I'm looking for a church that holds to the teaching I believe in. No, friend. Remind them of the church there at Thyatira and Pergamum, that some of them had the teaching of the Nicolaitans, and some of them followed Jezebel and the teaching of Balaam. Just because a church is teaching something doesn't mean that they're teaching what is scriptural and right and truth. And so we point our friends to not what we believe in, but what the Word of God says. And then last of all, someone might say, I'm looking for a church that has a well-known reputation. Well, we know Sardis had a name that was living, but they were dead. And so it's not about what's the popular one in Benton, but what is the one that is seeking to follow God's Word. So this evening then, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Let's look at the qualities of a local church that is a family. Number one, we are sons of God. I want to turn now in this portion of the service to looking at the terms and the words that are used to describe God's family. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 12, we are sons of God. And that happens by being baptized into Christ. And we would love to see someone baptized into Christ. And when we put on Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27, we are sons of God. And so we do that in baptism. And we would call upon anyone this evening to repent of their sins and be baptized into Christ. Become a son of God, a child of God. And when we do that, look at verse 12. As a family, we are led by the Spirit. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, that's how we want to live, you must die in sin. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. As a church family, number one, we let the Spirit lead us. A family needs guidance. It needs leadership. And the Holy Spirit, through His Word, leads us. It's not some mystical or mysterious or better felt than told kind of way. But if you back up to verse 4, it's when we walk by the Spirit, when we walk by the words of the Spirit that are revealed in the New Testament. We are a family that is led and guided by the words of the Holy Spirit. And there won't be anything wrong in this family because we're all being led by the Spirit, and that's always going to be led in a good way. We talked about last night the Las Vegas situation. When people go out and do terrible and evil and sinful and bad things, they're not being led by God. They're being led by what they want, what they feel, what they think, and look at the trouble that we're in. We're a family that is led by the words of the Spirit, and we have that guidance each day. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. We are children of promise and we are free. You know, that's one thing that is so promoted in our society today. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Freedom. The New Testament teaches freedom. We have freedom in Christ. Not freedom to live any way we want. Not freedom to do anything we want. But freedom from sin. And freedom from the bondage of sin. And in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 28, now brethren, as Isaac was, our children of promise, we, as Isaac was, our children of promise. And he refers to them as brethren. We are free. Verse 31, wherefore, brethren, we are not children of a handmaid, but of the free woman. For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. And there, the bondage here in a specific context is that of going back to the old law. You can read that in verses 2, 3, and 4. We know elsewhere of the bondage of sin. Human tradition can be a bondage. We're free from those things to walk in the way that God allows us to walk in the New Testament. And that is an encouraging thing. Paul tried to encourage them that they were children of promise and they were free, and not to go back to that bondage. We're familiar with Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all. And then what does Paul say? And to those who are of the household of the faith. Let's look at that. The household of the faith. We are a family that has a standard. Those out in the world, all men, individually, we do good unto all men, like the Good Samaritan. And then to those of the household of the faith. Look at that phrase, the faith. The faith here is like used other places in the New Testament to mean the New Testament body of teaching. For example, in Acts chapter 6, there were priests who were obedient to the faith. They were obedient to the gospel. We are a family that has a rule, that has a standard. It's the faith. And in this family, there is a body of teaching that's going to direct us each day. We don't live any way we want. It's a family that has a standard and a rule. And when people, God's children are following that, when you move from Benton, Illinois, and you move to Clarksville, Tennessee, or Springfield, Tennessee, everybody's going to be doing exactly the same thing. The family is just following the same standard and rule. Let's do that here at Benton. Let's let the New Testament be that standard and that rule. We know what happens when physical families are not following a proper standard. That's why we have what's called broken families and dysfunctional families. That's why our society is going down the tubes. Everybody's wanting to do what they want. We know about the book of Judges. What does the very last verse of the book of Judges say? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And read the book. There's a case of rape earlier in the book. There's idolatry in that book. And there's a host of other problems in that book because everybody's doing what they want to do. Well, I want a church of Christ that's just free and just kind of does whatever it wants. You don't want that, friend. You don't want that. When we walk by that standard and that pattern, there is peace and harmony and unity and good living. But when we just live any way we want, there's a problem. We are a family that walks by a standard, and we're encouraged by that. It's not a bad thing. We're a household. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. And we're built upon a foundation. Steve has been helping me some in the process of purchasing a new home. And we've been talking a little bit today about me getting a home inspection. And does it have a good foundation? And what's the floor and that type of thing? We want to be built on a foundation. We don't want a life every day that's just rocky and whatever, you know, up and down. There are all kinds of young people today. They don't even know what they're coming home to after school. It could be anything. It could be the woman with the boyfriend over, or vice versa. Anything goes. Every day is completely different. No organization, no structure, no rules, nothing. It's just chaos. No proper bedtime, no proper meals to eat. Certainly no church or religion or Bible. There's no foundation there. Jesus said that if we're supposed to make it through the storms of life, Matthew chapter 7, we better be building our house on that rock and on that foundation. If we're going to build on the sand, it's just going to go away whenever there's problems and storms in life. And we are a household of God. Ephesians 2:19, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Their preaching and their teaching, and then as that was revealed in the scriptures, that is the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. And we're solid. We're solid. And we'll make it through whatever situation comes in life, whatever change comes in society. When the winds of change blow, the local church is just built on that foundation. It's not going anywhere. Don't you want that for your family? What about middle-aged couples here this evening, or younger couples that may be planning a family down the road? Children, don't you want a solid foundation for your family? That's what the local church is about. It's built on a foundation. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We have a heavenly Father. As children, we have a heavenly Father to look to imitate. People tell Steve and myself and my other brothers and sisters, I can see your dad in you. There's some things you do up there when you're preaching that your dad does. I can see your mother in you. We all have that, don't we? We imitate our parents. We sound like them. We carry our body like them. We have these mannerisms like them. In fact, there was a young man that I was talking to on the phone just the other day about trying to help some brethren with Hurricane Harvey. The last time I saw this young man, he's about 25 years old. The last time I saw him, he was about 12. So I haven't talked with him in many years. I call him on the phone, and I can just tell by his voice, he sounds exactly like his dad that we were with in the local congregation. He was 12. I really didn't pay much attention to him at 12, but when I hear him now at 25, sounds exactly like his dad. We sound like our parents. We carry ourselves like our parents. And as a family, look at Ephesians 5 and verse 1. We're going to follow that example. Be ye imitators of God as beloved children. So however God is acting in these situations, we're acting just like that. Walk in love. God is love, 1 John. We're going to be loving. God is light, 1 John 1:5. We're going to walk in the light. We're going to act like our Heavenly Father. In Matthew chapter 5, we're to be perfect, complete as our Heavenly Father is. We're just going to follow the example of the Father, and that's what the family's going to do. It's just going to follow the example of their Father. And that's what we have in the local church. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. We are a family that has a purpose. And that purpose is to uphold truth. Listen, I love a potluck. I loved last Saturday night. I got two recipes out of that thing. The salad recipe and the lasagna recipe. I'm going to take those home. I love to eat. Love to eat. I love to play ball. Love to get out with my boys and others, play ball. But listen, our purpose as a family is not to eat. That's why we don't have a fellowship hall. Our purpose is not to get together as the Lord's church to play games. That's why we don't have a family life center or some sort of a recreational facility. We have a purpose, and we're going to read about it in just a minute. 1 Timothy 3, turn over to 1 Timothy 3:15. As a household of God, as children of God, we have a purpose. And that purpose is to fulfill what God wants in us, and He's told us in His Word what He wants. Jesus did not die on the cross for hot dogs and hamburgers. Jesus did not die on the cross for ball games and fun and games like that. When we first moved to Springfield, Tennessee in 1995, the preacher of the Main Street Church of Christ asked me if I wanted to come help them with their softball team. Main Street Church of Christ got uniforms, Church of Christ on everything, out playing the Baptists and the Lutherans and the Presbyterians. Do you want to come be on the softball team? They lost their sense of purpose. Yes, did they continue to teach God's Word? Yes, in some kind of way, and they continue to worship. But they've gotten sidetracked off of the food and the fun and the games. Our purpose, verse 15, if I tarry long, Paul tells Timothy, that you may know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God. We're talking this evening, we're looking at Bible passages that use this family language. Household, children, sons. Here we are, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. That's why there's no fellowship hall. That's why there's no family life center. Because we are here to uphold the truth in this community. And the Benton Church of Christ is doing that very thing. Yes, you can find churches of Christ and all other kinds of religions that do all other kinds of things. But that is not the purpose of the pillar and the ground of the truth. Individually in our homes, there is the work of eating and providing wholesome entertainment for our children and other kinds of things. I love a good homemade ice cream party. You announce that, I'm right there. Especially like in August when it's really hot, I'm right there. But it's not a work of the church. And there are hundreds of things that people have brought into the church, including churches of Christ. That's not what the family is supposed to be doing. Look at it again. We are the house of God, and we're supposed to be upholding the truth. That's why here at the Benton Church of Christ, when you come, they will be worshiping God, and the truth will be preached. There will be a meal, but it'll be the bread of life. We are a family with a purpose. And I'm encouraged that this congregation hasn't lost focus of what its purpose is. I'm glad these elders are keeping this congregation on goal, on aim, on purpose. Because so many today are leaving that in order to get more people to come into the building. They know that people are leaving in droves, so we have to change our purpose and bring them in some other kind of way, and then we've entered into unscriptural and authorized things. And the Lord is displeased with that. We're children, and we are a house, and we have a purpose. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. We have Jesus over us. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. The book of Hebrews is written to encourage Christians who are falling away. You can look at chapter 2 and verse 1. We've just finished a study of Hebrews there at Warfield Boulevard. You know of any brethren today that are falling away? They need the book of Hebrews terribly bad. The book of Hebrews uses the word better 12 times. You have better things in Jesus. Do not leave Him. Don't go out into the world. Better, 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 better. The Hebrew writer is trying to get these brethren to stay connected to Jesus. Some of them were going back into Judaism. Some of them were going back into the world. You can read the book of Hebrews and find different things that are pulling Christians away. But Jesus is better, the better way. 12 times in the book of Hebrews. And in chapter 3 and verse 6, the Old Testament Israelites had Moses to watch over them. We have Jesus. We have a son over a house. Whose house we are? Look at it, chapter 3, verse 5. Moses indeed was faithful in all his house, those Israelites that came out of Egypt, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were afterward to be spoken. But Christ as a son over. Look at verse 5. Moses was a servant. That's someone who's under. Jesus is a son who's over his house. He's greater than even Moses. Earlier in chapter 1 and 2, he's greater than the angels. He's greater. Why leave him? A son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our boldness and the glorying of our hope firm unto the end. Look at that phrase. That's why people leave Christ. They lose their hope of glorying, that I can be a Christian in heaven one day. We just forget all of that. And the writer is saying, do not lose sight that Jesus is a son over us. In fact, in chapter 2, he wanted to be made likened unto his brethren. We are a brother with Christ spiritually. Why leave all of that? And we have this hope of glorying that we can one day be with God in heaven. Don't ever lose sight of that. We are a house of Christ. We have Jesus over us and with us. We should never leave that. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1 and verse 14. We are to be children of obedience. We are a family that is going to obey God. Have you ever been in a family? Have you ever been around a family where the children are disobedient? Boy, if you haven't, just let me take you to Walmart after services. Just let me tell you. We'll just walk up and down the aisles of Walmart. Do you want to be around that? Is that a good thing? It is. It's ridiculous. I've spoken with parents. Parents have asked me before, well, what should I do? And I tell them exactly what the Bible teaches. And they'll say, well, I don't know if I can do that. Okay, then just wait a few years and you're going to be reaping the fruit of disobedience. Yelling and screaming and knocking stuff over. I've seen young people almost knock elderly people over in the local congregation. I've seen them running up and down the front up here, knocking things over. We don't want to be around a family that has disobedience. We want to be around a family that has obedience. And in the spiritual sense, we want to be that same way. Look at chapter 1 and verse 14. As children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lust in the time of your ignorance. That's when you're just out living any way you want in the Gentile life. Now we want to live a structured, holy, good life of obedience. The local church is not a free-for-all where everybody just lives any way they want. And when the preacher is preaching on these things and the elders are watching over these things, it's an obedient group of children to their father. And that's a group we want to be in. Not all kinds of unscriptural divorce and social drinking and dancing and gambling and the prom and all this kind. Anybody gets to live any way they want. But a family that is walking obediently in God's Word. That's what we are, and that's what we want. And we are a spiritual house with a spiritual work. Chapter 2 and verse 5. We're going to offer up spiritual sacrifices, and we're going to be busy in the community, here worshiping and out sharing the gospel. We'll talk more about that Thursday night, Lord willing. We have a spiritual work to do. We are a spiritual house, and we are a brotherhood. Turn with me to 1 Peter 2:17. Love the brotherhood. We've just started in 1 John in our Bible classes at Warfield. I'm impressed how often in 1 John the word hate comes up. Something was going on there. It comes up several times in a little old book. Hate your brother, hate your brother. If you hate your brother, you're walking in darkness and all that kind of thing. If you hate your brother, you're like Cain, chapter 3. Hate. What was going on there? Well, I guess I can understand by just looking out sometimes in congregations that I see today. You'll see some just outright ungodly behavior, brother toward brother or sister toward sister. When I was about 12 years old, Dad was preaching up in Southport in Indianapolis. And I was out on the front porch there with the son of one of the elders. He was a friend, and we were just out there chatting. I hear this commotion. And it's almost like a scream. One of the ladies just, "Ah!" And we run back in there. And one of the wives of one of the deacons fainted and passed out. Because a man had gotten my father after services and his fist was back and he was just going to punch him. And he raised his fist back, and when he did that, this lady fainted, and he saw that, and he put his fist down and he walked out. He was hot. He was just going to level my dad. I'll punch him. I'll show him. But brethren, even if it's not that, it could be something else. It could be gossip, it could be slander, it could be backbiting, it could be hurtful comments, it could be a number of kinds of things where we don't love our brethren. Now, when a brother needs to be rebuked of sin, that's one thing, and we do that in a kind way. We need to be loving. A family that not only is obedient, but a family that is also loving. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. We are a family that may not be accepted by the world. That's true. When you step out of this building this evening and you go back out into the community, there's going to be a lot of people that don't like you. That's right. But keep in mind, your spiritual family loves you, and God loves you, and Jesus loves you. You're going to go out into a world that doesn't love you at all. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 13, 1 John 3:13, "Marvel not, brethren, if the world hateth you." You're going to go out into a world that just doesn't like the way you're living as a Christian. And they're going to say a lot of things. You're not going to be accepted by the world. But Paul says in Philippians 2:15 that we are lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And we're going to hold forth the word of life to this world around us. They're going to hate us. They're not going to like us. But we take the truth in love. We try to plead with them. We try to talk with them. But what I want you to remember, brethren, is that when you step out into the world, you're not going to be accepted. But you're always accepted here with this spiritual family. You never have to worry about being rejected here. Because everyone in this spiritual family is living the way God wants them to live. So remember that when you go to school, young Christians, when you go to school, you're not going to be accepted by many people. When you go to work, you're not going to be accepted by many people. As children of God, we're not going to be accepted by those out in the world, but we are accepted in God's family. And I hope that is an encouragement. Well, the lesson is yours. I'm looking for a church family, a lot of people say. Now we have that material that we can share with them of what kind of a family we really are. And let's strive to live that way in this Benton congregation family here. I'm trying to encourage my spiritual family back home to follow these principles. If you're here this evening, not a child of God, not a child of this family, you do that by putting Christ on in baptism. Paul said in Galatians 3, 26 and 27, that we are sons of God when we put on Christ in baptism, when we're baptized into Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And we become a child of God. We would invite you to do that. Come, repenting of your sins. Let's study. If we need to study more, if we need to talk more, let's do that. We'll take the time after the service to do that and be baptized and become a child of God and a part of this spiritual family. If you've erred in some way, and you're not the family member that God wants you to be, and you're not the family member with these other family members here, come back and let them know that you want to be better, and they will receive you back with open arms. And as you're looking for that church family, look for what we've talked about this evening, not just what is generally out there in the world, but what God wants for His family. If we can assist you, if we can help you, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Is the grand